Loved ones, with the help of God, and this morning I'd like to read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 20. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20, the first 16 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and let us... In this portion of scripture that we have read together, Jesus is using this parable of the householder in his vineyard to express a spiritual truth to us. He's using an earthly example through this parable to express what the kingdom of heaven is like. And as we see the dealings here of the householder, of the owner of the vineyard, as we see his dealings with the laborers that he hires, we really get a very good picture of God and his dealings with us, his creation, and how it is that he would want us to work in his vineyard. As the parable begins, it says that the householder goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So we get the picture that there is much to be done. There is much work to be done in this man's vineyard, so he doesn't waste any time. Early in the morning, the first thing, he goes out and he hires laborers. And it says with this first group of laborers that he hires, it says that he agrees with them for a penny a day. There is not recorded here any complaints of these first laborers that were hired. They agreed to a penny a day. That seems to be a fair wage for a day's labor. And once they had agreed to that wage, he says he sent them into his vineyard first thing in the morning. And because there is much to do in this man's vineyard, he says he goes out about the third hour once again later in the day, and he sees others standing idle in the marketplace. They have nothing to do. And he asks them as well if they would be willing to go into his vineyard. But here it says he does not agree with them for a specific wage. He does not agree with them for a penny a day. He just tells them, whatever is right, I will give unto you. And says they went their way. They went to work in his vineyard. Again, no murmuring, no complaining is recorded here. They just simply trust that the owner of the vineyard is going to give them a fair wage for the day's work. And it says, again, he went out two more times, the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. He hired more laborers, for his vineyard. In the 11th hour, we could say at the last minute, he went out and he found others standing idle, again, standing idle with nothing to do. And he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And again, he agrees with these laborers who were hired at the last hour, not to a penny a day, but for whatever is right. And that they agreed to, and they went to work in his vineyard. There seems to be more of a trust on the part of these last laborers. There's more of a trust that the owner of the vineyard would give them a fair wage. There's more of a trust on their part, it seems, than the first laborers who agreed to a particular wage. But nevertheless, after the day is over, after all the work for that day in the vineyard has been completed, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So the ones who came last, who worked the least amount of hours, they were to receive their pay first. And if the owner of the vineyard's goal, if his intent was to deceive the first laborers that came, the ones who worked all day, if his desire was to deceive them or to hide from them the pay of the last laborers, he could have paid them first. But that's not what he does. And so he's going to pay the ones who came last first, and the ones who came first are going to receive their pay last. And we get, again, here a picture of how God deals with his laborers, the ones who labor in his vineyard. There is no deception on God's part. There is nothing that God does with the intent to hide some truth from us. God reveals his word, his will to us because it is his desire that we all be saved. There's nothing he does in secret. That's not how God works. There's no reason for God to do anything in secret with us. Everything he does is open unto us. Jesus even tells us that everything that has been made known unto him from the Father, he has revealed it unto us. Nothing is hidden. Everything that we need for our spiritual growth, everything that we need for our salvation is given unto us. Nothing is missing. So sometimes we read passages in God's word and we can feel that some details are missing, but they're not. Nothing that we need, nothing that is necessary for us is missing. Again, God does not work with us to deceive or to hide anything from us. And that is how God is being portrayed here through the owner of this vineyard. The ones who were hired last received their pay first. And those that came about the 11th hour, the ones who worked the least, they received every man a penny. Remember, they did not agree to a penny a day, they agreed to whatever was fair. And the owner of the vineyard felt that it was fair that they would receive a penny for their day's work, just as he agreed with the first laborers. And we can assume that, again, the last were paid first all the way to the first laborers. And it says, when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, but they also likewise received every man a penny. They got the wage that they agreed to at the beginning of the day. They were done no wrong. What they agreed to, they were given. And when they saw that they had received a penny, just as the last laborers, the ones who came at the 11th hour and the 3rd and the 6th, and the ninth, just as they had received a penny, they also received a penny. And they did not think that was fair. It says they murmured or complained against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Listen to how the first laborers are speaking here. They have pride about what they have done. It says, we have borne the burden and heat of the day. Look what great things we have done in this vineyard. And how is it fair that we who have been in the hottest part of the day and have been sweating, how is it fair that we receive the same pay as those who came at the last hour? Maybe the sun was already almost going down. The intense heat of the day was not there for them. How is it fair that they receive the same wage, the same pay? They were proud. They were proud pointing out what they had done. And we don't have to look far for another example of this pride that is within all of us, really. Without Christ, all of us are prone to be proud of what we have done, to point out how we are worthy of something. Just in the previous chapter, chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is teaching his disciples some deep spiritual truths, telling them how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, actually saying it is impossible. Jesus is saying it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus is again teaching them this deep spiritual truth, teaching them how God is, how God works. Jesus says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So Jesus here is in deep spiritual thought. And think how it must have saddened him, how Peter responds. It says, "Then Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Instead of focusing on this teaching and thinking about how, and instead of thinking how he could have been better, how he could have drawn closer unto Jesus, Peter is boasting, saying, "We have forsaken everything. What shall we receive?" He's making his service to be making it out to be so great. Similar again to the laborers who were hired first. "We have borne the burden and heat of the day. What shall we receive?" That was their focus. Their focus, the first laborers, were not focused on the laborers that came later. They were only focused on themselves. They had this pride that they were not worried about the last laborers. We can also think that these first laborers really had no happiness, no gladness in their heart because other laborers were called to work in the vineyard. They had no happiness, no joy whatsoever. They did not care at all about these last laborers. They cared only about themselves. Do we as believers, those of us who have been born again, those of us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, do we have a joy in our hearts when others are called to work in the Lord's vineyard? Do we rejoice with them for the decision that they have made to go and work in God's vineyard? Do we rejoice with them, or do we simply look at ourselves and boast instead about what we have done? Do we boast to God and say, "Look what I have done. Look how much I have labored for thee, Lord." Is that our attitude? Is that our mindset? Do we rejoice when others are called? If we do not rejoice when others are called into the Lord's vineyard, then we really have to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. For one who is in the faith will rejoice when more laborers are called, not looking at what we have done, but what others have done, the decision that they have made. What is the rightful mindset? What is the rightful attitude of a believer when others are called into his vineyard? We read a beautiful example in the Zion's Harp of the mindset of a believer, a true believer of God. In hymn number 227, the third verse, it says, "Alas, that I so late have known thee, O love, the fairest and the best. Nor sooner from my Lord could own thee, thou highest good, eternal rest. Now real regret my heart doth move because of this my tardy love." The hymn writer here is expressing regret that he has come to know his Lord so late. That is the attitude, that is the mindset of a believer. No matter when we come to know the Lord, whether we come to know him in our youth or our middle age or the later years of our lives, whenever we come to know him, there is a regret on our part because we did not make that decision sooner. We regret the years of lost opportunity to serve our Lord. That is the mindset of a believer. But again, that is not the mindset here of these who came and labored in the morning. They did not rejoice. We read many examples in Scripture of how many Jews did not rejoice when salvation was made available to the Gentiles. The Jews, many Jews, not all of them, some did rejoice, but many felt that they were God's chosen people. Only they should have the opportunity to have that close relationship with God. Many did not rejoice that salvation was made available to all mankind. That was the Lord's desire from before the foundation of the earth, as was mentioned in a prayer last night. Before the foundation of the earth, the plan was for Jesus Christ to come to this earth and to shed his blood, his precious atoning blood, to make salvation available to all. That was always God's plan. He used his chosen people in the Old Testament, the the Israelite people, to make known his will. That's how God worked. But his ultimate goal was to make salvation available to everyone. He created us all equally. In God's eyes, we read in the New Testament, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no bond nor free. All are equal in God's eyes. He wants us all to be saved. Do we rejoice in this? Do we rejoice that many in our church think the Lord are seeking him? And they are not all in their youth. Do we rejoice in this? Do we rejoice that others are seeking the Lord? Or do we simply point to ourselves and what we have done? Have we forgotten that we are saved by faith through grace, not of ourselves, not of our own works? The Bible teaches us that there's nothing we can do to deserve or to work out, to earn our salvation. It's not possible. If it were possible for us to work to deserve somehow our salvation, the Bible says that we would boast. We would be proud of what we have done. And that's not God's desire. His desire is that we look into our hearts and to realize that we ourselves are nothing. We ourselves can do no good thing without him. That is the truth. And if we do not accept this, then we really, again, have to ask ourselves if we are true believers. Are we truly God's own? Are we his love? Are we his loved ones or not? We know another example of someone who did not rejoice when another soul was brought to life. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, we read the example of the prodigal son, who it says he went in his youth and he wasted his substance, he wasted his goods with riotous living. He was not wise with what he was given. This young son asked at an early age, he asked his father for his inheritance. And his father gave it to him, and he says he went his way, and again he wasted that inheritance. And when this young son had spent all that he had, he realized what he had done. He realized that truly he had wasted his life. He realized truly he had wasted what he had been given. And he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And again, we see here a perfect, a beautiful picture of how God works with us. His father sees his younger son coming from a great way off, and he had compassion on him, and he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him, rejoicing that his son that was lost was found again, rejoicing in his son that his son that was dead is alive again. And his father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now look at the reaction of the older son. The older son never left. The older son never left his father's house. His whole life he stayed and he worked for his father. And when they had killed the fatted calf and rejoiced for the younger son, it says the older son was angry. He was angry and he would not even go into the house. He had no rejoicing whatsoever that his younger brother had come home. He's boasting. The older son is boasting about what he has done. He says to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And look here at the reaction of the father. Again, we see a beautiful picture of how God reaches out to us, how he reacts with us when we come home, when we make the decision to come and to be in the father's house. It says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And likewise, we see a very similar, pretty much identical reaction to what the owner of the vineyard had. After these first laborers had murmured and complained, it says that the owner of the vineyard says, if I can find it here quickly, it says, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? And again, the 15th verse, is thine eye evil because I am good? That is what God is asking us as believers. Do we have an evil spirit about us because God is good? Because of the decisions that God makes to bring others into his fold, into his vineyard, are we now thinking evil of others because of our Lord's goodness, because of our Lord's mercy that he pours out without measure upon all his creation? Do we then look at that and think evil? God forbid. God forbid that we would ever have those thoughts. And again, what is the true mindset of a believer? It's to pray. We read in Matthew chapter 9, the last two verses, it says he speaks unto his disciples, and he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." That is what we are to do as believers. We are to realize that there is much, much work to be done in God's vineyard. Just because we are already laboring in his vineyard, does not mean that there's not room for more. There's always room for more. There's always more work to be done. God's desire is that the whole world would be saved. His desire is to leave nobody out of his vineyard, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth, that all would look upon his Son and to realize what his Son has done for them. That is God's desire. And we are to be praying. We as believers are to be praying, asking God that he would call, that he would send more laborers forth into his vineyard to work. That is what we are to do, not to murmur and to complain. When we see someone who is converted at perhaps a later age, perhaps in the sunset years of their life, do we look upon them and do we murmur and do we think that's not fair? What can that person possibly do? What can that person possibly do to labor for the Lord? I have given my life over to the Lord for X number of years. I deserve more of a pay. Is that our mindset? The first laborers agreed to a specific wage. They agreed to a penny a day. Likewise, we, when we are sent into God's vineyard, no matter what age, God gives us what is fair, what is right. He gives us what we do not deserve whatsoever. He gives us eternal life. Eternal life is what we are promised. How can we ask for more? How can we somehow think that we are worthy of more than that? He gives us what is fair, and really, he gives us what is not fair. If we think about what we have done to transgress against our Lord, how is it fair that we receive eternal life? It's not. But God in his goodness gives it unto us. Are we then to murmur, to complain, to think that somehow we deserve more because we have been baptized X number of years earlier than someone else? No. That is not at all the mindset of a believer. That is not just, that is not righteous whatsoever. But likewise, even as there is a teaching for us as believers in this chapter, there's also a plea and a warning to the unconverted, to those who are not yet laboring in the Lord's vineyard. Multiple times the owner of the vineyard went into the marketplace looking for laborers, and there are many standing around idle, doing nothing. At the 11th hour, as we read, the owner of the vineyard asks these men, "Why are you here all the day idle?" And they say, "Because no man hath hired us." What an excuse. No man has hired us. To our unconverted friends, are you justifying your own lack of desire to work in the labor in the Lord's vineyard? Are you justifying that lack of desire because God has not called me? God has not called me, so I'm not going to go work for him. You're being warned here. Again, God's desire is that we are all saved. He goes at the 11th hour, the last hour of the day, and he invites more laborers into his vineyard. That is an expression of God's love for all mankind. No desire that anyone would be sent to the lake of fire. The lake of fire was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. And God does not rejoice at all that anyone would be cast into the lake of fire. But this 11th hour, dear ones, is not promised to any of us. This last hour of the day that the owner of the vineyard went to call laborers to work in his vineyard, that is not promised to us. By God's mercy, many are saved in the 11th hour. Many are truly saved at the last moment of their lives. Thanks be to God for that opportunity, for that gift. But that is not promised to every one of us. that opportunity to work in his vineyard at the 11th hour and to receive the same wage is not promised. So don't stand all the day idle. Don't stand about doing nothing and waiting perhaps for some miraculous revelation from heaven. There are many examples in God's word of miraculous revelations that call people to repentance. I think the most well-known is Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, but that is not promised to us. God speaks to us in a still, small voice. He is not going to shout over the world to come work in his vineyard. He's going to speak to us quietly, gently, stilly. We have to be ready to receive that calling. We have to be listening. And if we shut off our ears to his calling and just stand all the day idle, doing nothing, there's going to come a time when the day is over. The sun has set and there's no more time to work in his vineyard. To our unconverted friends, don't be found outside of his vineyard. Inside his fold, inside the sheepfold, is where there is peace, where there is rest, where there's protection from the world and its temptations, its allurements. Why would you want to be found outside of his vineyard, standing idle, doing nothing? There's a well-known verse, I believe we all know it, and we all know it very well in Jeremiah that speaks to our unconverted friends. It says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." May that not be said of anyone in this room. May that not be said of anyone in the world. God's desire is not for that. His desire is not for the harvest to be past, for the summer to be ended, and for souls not to be saved. There's much, much work to do in God's vineyard. And again, we don't have to look very far, even from this, in the same chapter 20 that we have read. There's another example of spiritual pride, thinking that someone deserves something. In chapter 20, verse 20, it says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, And what wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." Look at what she's asking for. She's asking that her sons be lifted up. She's asking that they perhaps receive a pay more than what others have received. But that is not God's desire. His desire is that we are all saved, that we all have an equal standing, that we are all with him throughout all eternity. There's no room for pride. There's no room for pride in the heart of a believer. For if there is pride in our hearts, then we truly, what we do is we look at what the Lord has done for us and what he is continually doing for us, and we think that we are somehow doing something more. We are somehow doing something more than our Lord, which is not possible. We often think about what Jesus has done for us in the past. We often speak of his work for us in the past, how he has offered himself as a sacrifice for us. But what he is doing for us is he's continually working for us. It never stops. He's praying. He is interceding on our behalf. When we do something wrong, when we have perhaps an evil thought, Jesus is interceding for us with the Father. His work is continually going on for us. Do we look upon his work for us and look upon it as a small thing? Do we minimize what the Lord has done for us? That is, we won't say it, but that is what we are doing in our minds and our hearts when we think that we have done some great thing for the Lord. There are many that even as the younger son, the prodigal son, there are many that waste their lives, that waste their living, that perhaps take advantage of people, that lie, that cheat, that steal. There are many that think that they can somehow repay that to God by giving to charity, by doing things that are good. But that is not how the kingdom of God works. Thinking that we can repay the past sins that we have committed with good works, that's not possible. We are saved again by grace. By grace only, by faith and grace, not by ourselves, not because of what we have done. May God give unto each and every one of us a true willingness to work in his vineyard, not worrying about the pay that we or others receive, but rejoicing that God is calling, even in this day, across the world, many more souls to work in his vineyard and to live for him. May God bless his word on our hearts in this day. Amen.
This parable in chapter 20 comes right before Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem, getting ready to go to the cross. And he's showing the disciples that these are heart issues. Humankind has to deal with heart issues of pride, heart issues of murmurings, and heart issues of elevating ourselves over our neighbor. He impresses upon them in the last verse of the previous chapter, and he says it many times throughout the book of Matthew, is many those that will be last, they shall be first. And those that will be first, they shall be last. And he's telling them, lower yourself. Serve others. And that the Son of Man did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. And the beauty of this parable and the danger of murmurings. I don't know if any of you have been in conversations, maybe at work, maybe at church, how dangerous murmurings can be. You might be just laboring along, happy with your wages, and very happy with your work, until somebody comes along in your ear and says, boy, the boss is really riding us today. Don't you think we deserve more? Our other labor, he's getting the same amount, and we've been working all day. Don't you think we deserve more? Jesus is setting the stage for the Gentiles and telling the Jews, they're going to get the same reward as you because I love them just as much as I love you. And my friend outside of Christ, this morning, the husbandman has gone out today. And some of us have stayed idle. But the husbandman is calling you to labor. Not because he can't do all the work himself, but because he loves you. So my idle laborer, answer the call. Work in the vineyard. Because your reward is far more than a penny. May the Lord bless the message that has gone out in this day. Amen.